Welcome back to the Life on Target podcast. I'm your host, Nathan Spearing. Reeling from the events of the last few days, many of you may have noticed that my county, Moore County, North Carolina, made national news because our local county power grid was attacked or vandalized, where two power substations were attacked. What they have reported is rifle fire or was shot, and that ultimately they knew what to do. The vandals knew where to hit the transformers such that they put us down hard. So I was actually visiting my parents in Alabama. My whole family was. And the news that the grid got attacked came to us that next morning, that Sunday morning. And initially, didn't know what was going to happen, but when the forecasted time to get everything back online went to 3 to 5 days, I drove through the night to get back because we had 5 deep freezers full of homegrown meat, pig we slaughtered a couple weeks ago. If you guys follow us on social media, right before we left to go to my parents' house, we butchered 38 chickens, ducks, and got them bagged and in the freezer. In some ways, that meat is priceless to us because we spent 8-9 weeks growing it on our farm, butchering it ourselves, bagging it, putting it in the freezers. And when the fact that it was going to take many days to get it back online, I went ahead and drove through the night. And there's a lot of lessons learned to be gleaned from that time. Men of the church and other local churches, we got together and talked about how the church could be better prepared for something like this. And I will be releasing another podcast on that subject. But because we just got power back Wednesday, I was traveling, I'm a little bit behind, y'all. So what I'm going to do is release to you my recent interview with the Dead Man Walking podcast. And we talk about dominion, stewardship, and small business. And it's actually surprising that months ago, I recorded this interview and stressed how the church needed to be more prepared for uncertain times and how I was specifically setting my life up and wanting to teach others in the church how to do the same. So with the recent events in our county, what I said on the podcast is even more pertinent. So please enjoy my interview. Dead Man Walking Podcast.
Exploring theology, doctrine, and all of the fascinating subjects in between. Broadcasting from an undisclosed location. Dead Men Walking.
It's not undisclosed now.
No.
They know where we're at.
Oh, yeah.
Watch out. Hey, guys. Welcome back to another episode of Dead Men Walking. We're live at Fight Left Feast Conference in Knoxville, Tennessee. Interviewing all types of interesting people. We're getting the word of God. We're fighting. We're laughing. We're feasting. And we've got a guest here that I just met, a new friend. He's from Warriors Tending Gardens. Interesting shirt. I walked up to him. We started talking. And I just thought it was such an interesting concept. Can you introduce yourself and explain a little bit?
Yes. So, name's Nathan Spearing. Did 14 years special operations in the Army.
Thank you for your service.
My pleasure. I'd do it again, but I'm so glad I'm paroled.
Paroled.
And some of the stuff that's most exciting to me today, I was a warrior. I guess once always in some ways. I'm not quite as hardcore as the Marines on that subject. You'd say a Marine, always a Marine. No, I was in the Army, but more recently I've been doing small business. I have 5 kids, did 12 deployments, and they were growing up, and I wasn't feeling like the time spent overseas outweighed the time away from my family.
Okay.
So I got out 6 years ago almost in December and started a small business. And for somebody that went to the very top in the military, excuse me, been talking all day, we're all losing our voices.
No problem.
Somebody that went to the top of the military and then now was home 365 days with my wife and kids, that was harder to me.
Yeah.
I actually was wishing to go back and fight Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan while my wife was gone doing grocery shopping with my kids.
Yeah.
And so I realized that all these years of deploying, all these years of going and doing the things that are sexy, in the eyes of the culture.
Sure.
It was idolatry for me. Ooh. And I was living, never really being present with my wife and kids. I was surviving as a dad.
Wow.
That was brought to the surface when I no longer had this lollipop of going and doing cool missions, going skydiving, going climbing mountains for freedom, for democracy, all the good things.
Sure.
But I was angry. I was taking out on my kids. My businesses were not doing well. I was blaming everybody else because it couldn't be me. I'm a special operations guy. I'm God's gift to freedom. How come my businesses are, well, they suck. I'm having trouble paying my mortgage. And God, that was my time in the wilderness, if you will, as a man.
Yeah.
And having to really realize, I was really good at this special operations stuff, but I'm not as good of a dad as I need to be. Mm. I'm not as good of a husband as I need to be. Business is, and when I own the business, I can't really blame anyone else if I own it. It's ultimately my responsibility.
Yeah.
And I couldn't hide anymore.
Yeah.
I couldn't blame other people legitimately. And I just had to go to work on myself. I had to own every area of it. And Warriors Tending Gardens is that we did an inaugural event with the Cross Politic guys last May.
Yeah.
3 days, immersive event, shooting. And I've been telling guys, the guns and the tactics and the shooting is the carrot on the stick. But I really want to get you in there. And I want to find out what, for me, it was empathy to my daughters. It was not being angry at my kids because my businesses were failing and that was me. I'm bringing it home. What is that for you? What are you hiding from everyone else?
Yeah.
What are you not taking ownership of? And for me in this conference, I can go after guys physically. Say, you got your doctrine's probably great.
Yeah.
You do a lot. You have many leather bound books. Your palate for good scotch.
Very learned. Yes.
But that's manifesting itself at more inches on your waist.
Yeah.
That may actually be, and actually is detrimental to your mental, physical, emotional well-being. It's all connected.
I could argue spiritual health too, lack of self-control,
absolutely.
Discipline, right?
Yeah. And just like if I have a porn addiction, it's affecting everything.
Yeah.
You can't have this secret sin. And so having just literally failed at a lot of things in the military, failed at business, made a lot of mistakes as a dad. And I'm not talking about that to be coddled. I'm not talking about that to try to get the sympathy card. Say, if we are going to priests, kings in our household, if we're going to build the foundational element of our society, which is the family, we have to be multidisciplined.
Mm.
We have to have dominion over all areas of our lives. And being involved corporately with other men enables those relationships to highlight, if we're really doing relationship correctly, highlight the areas that I'm not doing as well as this other guy. And it's not about comparing. And us guys have a really good way. We will pivot around and we'll get the vantage point that we can put this other guy down.
Yeah.
For me, I'll be like, he's actually studied the word and better. He's committed it to heart. He can call back scripture. He can apply it. But I'm going to think bad about him because he's not as good a shape as, and way this manifested for me personally is I was in special operations going to a great church and I would just look at these soft civilians.
Sure.
And then my wife was like, but you think Ryan could teach you how to be a more patient? And so having to acknowledge that us being men being in community and men really being transparent, not in a coddling way, not to say, oh yeah, all of us struggle with porn, man. It's okay.
Right.
Oh, that sin is destroying your life and you need to put it to death.
Yeah.
Toby said at Grace Agenda, do you really want that sin to be put to death?
Yeah.
And to call each other out. And so immersive events have been really good.
Yeah.
We shot sniper rifles. We did PT. We did some breathing. We did some cold plunge stuff, a bunch of stuff physical. But a lot of the guys just found out being with 10 to 15 guys that are serious, and we can start to peel back the onion and get at what it is to be a man, how we're failing, get encouragement, get practical, tactical advice. And I think a lot of what you get at these conferences can be nebulous.
Sure.
We got to slay the dragon.
Yeah.
What does that look like as a former warrior?
What's the dragon and how do we slay it? Oh, we're not going to tell you that. We're just going to give you the slogan.
Well, the dragon may be the internet in your home. The dragon may be the women that are having influence on your wife in a negative way. The dragon may actually be
what you're putting in the refrigerator.
Camp. what you're putting in the refrigerator that then goes in your mouth.
Yeah.
And that then has an effect on how you feel, how you sleep, how you can actually work.
Yeah.
And so in a sense, stripping back that comfort and being a little on the nose about some stuff that maybe certain guys can't be. And taking that bona fides that comes from special operations, but ultimately says, hey, there's that you need to be implying that intensity and that mindset to every area of your life.
Okay, so for a listener who goes, these are all great concepts, and I love what you're saying, what exactly does Warriors Tending Gardens do? Is it a camp? Is it a retail place? Is it a conference?
Yeah.
What exactly are you doing?
So I have a weekly podcast.
Okay.
The Life on Target podcast.
Life on Target.
We've been doing a weekly episode for about a year now. So there's a ton of practical stuff there. Working out, starting small businesses. I've interviewed 10 to 15 men and women about practical things they're doing in their life. So there's a lot of stuff there. We've done a couple in-person events. I'm building out a facility in North Carolina to be able to bring men, families out. We're going to do homesteading stuff. We're going to do physical stuff, shooting, all that. Also, I'll come to your church. If you got guys that are saying, hey, we got a group of 10, 15 guys, we want to hear more of this. My website, spearing.co,
okay,
has all my social handles, has a way to inquire about me coming out there. I love to partner with your church because ultimately I don't want to start a para church organization that does discipleship because that the church should be doing. I want to enable the local church and men in local churches to do this organically where they are.
Sure.
And some of that may actually be starting with, hey, your pastor needs to start working out.
Yeah.
The reason why he can't preach about physical dominion over your body is because it would be hypocritical.
Yeah.
He can't talk about money and starting a business and being financially, because he's actually a wreck financially.
Yeah.
And even just the reality of the gospel is you don't have to be perfect on these things to teach and to disciple.
Yeah.
So I'd like to, if you're listening to this and say, it sounds great, just get in touch with me.
Okay.
Let's figure out how we can enable your church to take dominion in some of these areas. And these circles by percentage are a lot better about the things we're talking about here.
Yeah.
You're not going to say, hey, your kids shouldn't be in public school, and everybody's not going to freak out about that. We know Christian education is important.
Yeah.
But in some sense, you don't just get to farm that out either. Are you, as a man, you're responsible. Military has this thing. You can delegate authority, but you can never delegate responsibility. So as a man, are you delegating responsibility to your wife in some things, but not really actually being responsible? And that could be education.
Sure.
She homeschools the kids. I go off and I win the bread. Hey. Do my part. When I show up at home, I expect a beer. I expect a little bit of quiet because it's been so hard at the office, babe. I don't. It's just, you don't get how hard it is to win all this bread when she's been cultivating immortal souls all day and it's been pouring out. So some of that's, hey, you work out. Not so you can look good in the mirror so that you can actually function after 8 hours of work at the office, show up and be physically attentive to your kids and play tag and wrestle with your boys and do these things while your wife's getting dinner on the table. And let's do some of those things, laying out your day practically. And how do you do that?
Yeah, I've always said women should go to at least one women conference a year for 3 days just so the dads have to stay home with the kids and remember what it what it is that if your wife is a homemaker, what she does. Now, I work from home, so I'm home all the time and in and out, which comes with its own struggles. They don't know whether dad's there to play football and play catch or talking to clients. So you have to make that separation. We were talking offline, though, to shift gears here. We're talking offline about homesteading. Why should that be important to Christians and men in particular? Isn't that some crazy conspiracy thing we don't need to worry about? We got grocery stores. We have electricity. We have all these modern comforts.
Yeah.
Why should Christians and men in particular be concerned about or even know about homesteading?
Yeah, I think it's not as uncommon these days to think about the grocery store, but it's poison for the most part.
Yeah.
There's pesticides all over your produce.
Yeah.
Your chickens are triple chlorine bath washed.
Yeah.
And that still has pathogens on it, even though they're doing all this chemical stuff to your meat.
Yeah.
What is that actually manifesting for a male as your testosterone production?
Yeah.
You see soy in these things you're putting on, Duke's mayonnaise. So what is that doing when, you, as a man, you are ingesting soy?
Sure.
And it's when you start to look at the ingredients, really look at the ingredients, even though there's maybe three or four, maybe that last one is a proprietary blend of something that says natural, so you think it's good, but it's not.
It's not.
You know,
yeah.
It's actually made from the anal glands of a beaver.
Yeah.
You know, that's a strawberry flavor.
Wow.
It's ridiculous when you start to peel this back. So mostly what you put in your body matters, just like what how you are spiritually matters. So to say, when I eat food, it's right, wrong, or indifferent, something's going to happen with it. So I got to put the right things in.
Sure.
So for us as a family, I was reading Rory Grove's book, Durable Trades. I'm a general contractor. That's my day job. So that's another thing. This is in a large way a ministry, but I have a general contracting company. I have real estate. So we have a productive household. I work from home too. I got office. I'm back and forth.
Yeah.
But I was reading that book and he breaks down the labor market into four sectors, with primary being directly from the land.
Okay.
So I was secondary, which takes raw goods from the lands and creates our product, and our services are based on taking lumber and doing these things. I was doing that analysis a year and a half ago, and I was like, essentially, your home is more durable, or your vocation is more durable, the closer to the land that you are. And he has this pyramid. It's percent of our labor market is from the land now. It used to be 68-70% of households were primary from the land.
From the land.
That's not a good thing.
No.
And so I just like, all right, what can we do as a family to just have a little bit more agency over this aspect of our life?
Okay.
So we just, it's got to be incremental. So we were living downtown. We didn't really have land yet.
Yeah.
And we started doing chickens in the backyard.
Sure.
So we got layers. We got a couple meat birds, and we slaughtered them right there in downtown Southern Pines, North Carolina.
Okay.
I pulled my construction trailer so that the neighbors walking their dogs weren't seeing the carnage. So I think that's the reality, is people have this thing that perfection is what we're gonna do. And John Acuff talks about it. If you have this perfect image in your mind and you never start, that's the way you stay in control. Because you're like, oh, I'm going to be this great homesteader once I finally get land, once I finally get all these things, or I'm gonna start working out once I got the right shoes and I got the gym membership, or I'm saving for my Rogue Fitness setup at my house, and when I get all the squat rack perfect, then I'll work out.
Yeah.
And then you never do it.
Yeah.
So we started incrementally with chickens in the backyard. We want to get our kids on the land too, because I grew up on 10 and I just wanted my kids to be outside in the dirt playing.
Yeah.
Adventure and just this ruggedness that they could have. So now we have 54 acres. We have 70 something chickens. We had a really big vegetable garden. We're doing the fall garden now. We're looking to get pigs. We're looking to get cattle now that we have the pasture.
Sure.
But in a sense too, I have other businesses. This is going to become the laboratory where my kids get to do business. My 10-year-old son has an egg business. He's carting every time we go to church. He's taking 6-8 dozen eggs to church,
sure,
and he's selling them and having to have the conversation. Hey, son, some of that's going to have to go to dad, because I just bought this 500 pounds of organic soy-free feed from this local supplier, and half the chickens are yours.
Yeah.
So maybe 150 bucks of that is going to come out of your thing, and have these. And he's having to do sales. So he's having to engage with men in our church about payment.
Sure.
And to say, hey, yeah, he owes you money, but you got to be respectful. You're still. And so having these conversations and going to the pre-industrial revolution household. If you don't have land, and Joel Salatin talks about this, that's the other thing. Is like, I got to be the one that does everything.
Yeah.
Find a local farmer that is doing it and pay full price for what he's doing.
Yeah.
His family's doing. Christians are so cheap.
I know, right?
We want a deal.
Yeah.
Do I get 10% off? Do I want to do? And Doug talks great about this in Gashmusayat, and how we can abuse a brother's skills and services in the church because we're at church together.
Actually, the Bible says pay a man what he's worth.
Exactly.
You know, his wages. So that's the way we should.
I've had conversations with people at our church where, we got 75 free-range organic chickens that I slaughtered with my kids.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, it's got to be Walmart prices. And like, your husband's a doctor. Why are you telling me I got to commoditize something that's not a commodity? It is completely different product than what Walmart is selling. And then
if you want Walmart price, why are you here then?
Yeah. And the church is buying low quality food.
Yeah.
And wondering why we have disease.
Yeah.
And we just can't make these connections. And so for me, I saw an opportunity to start doing that. And a lot of that's going to be, we're going to do this. My kids are going to do businesses. my primary business is in construction and stuff, but
yeah,
we want our kids to do it. We want to have, I want to have something that's a little easier to work alongside my sons.
Sure.
And eventually I say churches should have a plan to feed local, feed each other. If there's a market stressor and supply chain ripple kind of effect, the term for this is personal runway.
Yeah.
And personal runway is a lot of things. How many days can you go without getting money before everything falls down?
Yeah.
How many days can you go without power? How many days can you go without food? How many days can you, do you have organically? And this is not prepper.
Yeah.
This is not freak out. Oh, Lord Jesus, come back quick, whatever.
Yeah. No, this is wisdom and discernment.
This is what Joseph did.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the way things are going and I'm thinking maybe we should set aside a fifth.
Yeah.
Just because it's going to be famine, potentially.
Sure.
There's ebbs and flows in society. There's readjustments. There's resets and things. It's bound to happen. We can't keep printing this much currency. We can't be giving out this much bad debt.
Yep.
We can't be doing all these things and there not be consequences.
Yeah.
And when the shock comes, as the church and as families, are we going to be ready to minister to people that are hungry and are starving?
I would say we're not.
We're not
going to
be ready.
I would say the majority of churches who are supposed to provide, not only for their flock, but for the poor and destitute, if something were to happen, they would look to the federal government and go, where's our food banks?
Yes.
We're a nonprofit. Could you send us some food down?
Yep.
When in fact, what you're saying is very important, where you're saying, I want to take men, train them to then go back to their local churches, to then flourish out from there and say, okay, we can self-sustain, provide for ourselves.
And I think it's ready.gov.
Yep.
Has a list of equipment that they recommend every business own.
Yeah.
In the event of a natural disaster or storm or whatever. So if you own a small business as a man and you have money coming in excess of what you need to feed your family, you can buy generators.
Yep.
You can buy grain.
Yep.
You can buy fuel. You can buy all these things that the government says every business should have.
Should have, yeah.
So that you're resilient. And it's tax-free.
Yeah.
Because your business bought it based on the government recommendation to be prepared for natural disasters, to be prepared for shocks in the market.
Sure.
And you have to have a business that's profitable. And
yeah,
you have to, your low overhead has to be low as a family.
Sure.
You have to have excess. And you, but also when you have a business, all these things that you need to be resilient, to have personal runway, are tax-free things.
Yeah.
My business bought my tractor. My business is building my barns. My business is the infrastructure for these farms. It's all tax-free money because it's building businesses.
Yeah, my business bought my generator.
Exactly.
I'm a realtor.
Exactly.
But I have an office on my property and it needs to be powered possibly.
Exactly.
And
want to miss a client calling you and buying a house in a storm. No way.
Yeah.
You got to get it. And so I think that as a small business owner, and some of this is military training, I had to go into these places and be effective.
Yeah.
I had to work with multiple government agencies.
Yeah.
I was in the most effective branch of the government, Department of Defense, but I still felt like it was dysfunctional. I still had to do these strategic narratives to get the mission accomplished. And we're just not, as Christians, we're not thinking very creatively. We're not realizing that there's systems in place that are beneficial for us if we're shrewd, if we understand the times, discerning. And that there's these guys that are out there that know this. They may not be on your session. They may not be out. But as a church, you can reach out to some of these men and you can bring them in and you can do workshops and you can start to push the envelope and you can start to pull people out of their comfort zone in ways that enables them to have more dominion over their life.
Yeah.
Everything.
So if we've got an audience member out there right now and they're a member of a church or an elder or a pastor, they're listening and they go, this sounds like something that I want to do for my church. How would they get a hold of you? Where do they go? And then also throw out the podcast again so they could take a listen to those resources.
Yeah. Spearing.co. SPEARING.co.
And we'll link all this up.
Is the website.
Yeah.
And right at the top, there's a button, Book Nathan, virtual in person. And it'll be a contact form and it'll go right to my inbox and we'll work it out. We'll craft the event. We can do, if you're trying to do multiple churches, my website supports, I can get you a link and handle all the payment stuff there. And we can work at, I've done some stuff with churches, say, hey, put the event out. You guys promote it locally. I'll show up. It'll go through this thing, and then I'll write your church a check at the end of it. Right. Profit share. Like, this is a very simple thing. Yeah. And I got the infrastructure to book it. And you guys do the promoting. If you guys want to say, no, we just want to, our session, we'll bring you out. What's your fee? We can work it out that way.
Okay.
And we can craft something specifically. And then there's a lot of guys out there in the network. John Moody, Rory Groves, C.R. Wiley, and myself are working on some strategic things for curriculums for men and boys.
Awesome.
And so we're working at potentially in the spring, we'll be going out to C.R. Wiley's church and doing a men's conference. And really, ultimately, it's about getting a bunch of men in the room together.
Yeah.
And in some ways, getting away from our wives. And so it's that we can be real about some things. And we can preserve the leadership aspect of it. We're not compromising the hierarchical integrity of things the way God's ordered it.
Yeah.
But we can also be serious about growth in the areas that we're thinking God doesn't have dominion over that. I get to just harbor this sin over here and it's not going to affect anything. It has generational effects and we need to get busy. Yeah. Love to come to the church. Love to, if you got some land, want to do some shooting, whatever, just we can work it out. But yeah, serious about strong men, multidisciplined men. And Abraham, Genesis 14:14. He took his 318 trained men.
Yeah.
That word right there, hanuk, set apart, chosen. He had 318 men that could go execute a nighttime hostage rescue mission.
Yeah.
Pause agrarian activities and go launch a hostage rescue mission by night, dividing the forces, conquering when other kingdoms around couldn't even do it.
Wow.
And he's so rich. He said, oh, yeah, we just plundered these kingdoms. We rescued everybody. I don't want anything. I'm rich.
Yeah.
God's already, this wasn't about me going and profiting off of violence. This wasn't about me trying to get ahead in life. This was about truly protecting the downtrodden. There's no ulterior motives here. My guys risked some stuff. They're going to get some stuff. They risked it, but it's not me.
Yeah.
And to have 318 men and their families, and you're feeding all of them organically from your household.
Yeah.
And that is what the household should be. I think maybe culturally where we're at, one man is not going to be like the church could have that size, but that
absolutely
the capacity exists in your to say pause for productive over here. That margin that we got in business and agrarian activities, we've cross trained on nighttime hostage rescue too. We're ready for that. We're ready for to go over here. And I just did a podcast with Anthony Esselin, just hit Friday today, and men used to get together and build things.
Yeah.
We don't really get together and build things much anymore.
Not a whole lot.
We sit around, we drink some scotch, and we talk about how manly we are.
Yeah.
Let's get together and build some things. Let's get together and do some stuff productive, multi-generational, lasting.
I love it.
Yeah.
Cool. Nathan, thank you so much. Warriors Tending Gardens, guys, if you're listening, go check out the podcast. We'll link everything up for you. It was so nice meeting you. I know we're going to be talking in the future. What you got going on is so interesting and so needed, I think, in the American church as well. We appreciate you, brother, and all that you do.
Thanks,
guys. Thanks so much for listening to another episode of Dead Men Walking Podcast. As always, God bless.
Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Dead Men Walking Podcast for full video podcast episodes and clips, or email us at deadmenwalkingpodcast@gmail.com.
None your biscuits.
Thanks again for listening to the Life on Target podcast. I hope you enjoyed my interview with Greg. I will post the links to their show with all the other interviews that the Dead Man Walking podcast has done. Talked to a lot of great and interesting people, as well as the YouTube for our conversation. And barring no more vandalism in our county, I will be back to you next week, resuming regular programming. Got a couple of interviews that I've already recorded. I'm excited to release to you, as well as a after-action review of how my family did, and our church did, in the wake of the attack on our power grid. As always, y'all, thanks for listening. Share the episode if you got any value out of it, and have a good one.